Do I have any weightlifters in the building? Anybody like to lift weights? Besides me, I like to lift weights. Lift weights. What is the ultimate sign of brute strength for any high schooler?
The bench press, right?
The ultimate sign of brute strength. Who can do the most of the bench press? And apparently, I think my any social media or videos I look at would apparently think I'm pretty interested in bench press because of a lot of videos of guys bench pressing like huge amounts of weight, you know, 500 pounds, 600 pounds, whatever. That's a very small percent of the population that can bench press that much. In fact, most of the population cannot bench press their own body weight. Anyone who could bench press above their body weight is actually doing pretty well by today's standards. So I've always enjoyed the idea of being strong. I've always wanted to be strong. It's always something that I went after. But that's a physical strength. Physical strength. There's a different kind of strength that the Lord wants us to have, which is a spiritual strength. But it's the kind of strength where you would be able to stand firm and strong in any opposition to your faith. Right? All the world could be falling alongside you, could be falling away from the Lord. All your family could go to the left and the right and turn away from the Lord. But if you have the kind of strength that we're talking about right here, you will stand firm in the Lord and you will continue to walk with Him all the days of your life. Amen? And so this particular passage that we're going to look at, because what we're going to do is we're going to go fast forward to the end of Joshua's life now. We're going to skip over a lot of the battle scenes and different things and the way they divvied up the promised land, but we're going to go to the end of his life and we're going to share some of his last words to Israel and how in his last words, he wanted them to be strong in the Lord. That's what he was encouraging them to do, to be strong in the Lord. So we're going to look at his message and what he had to say to the Israelites, and we're going to see exactly how this is also speaking to us today. So I'd kind of like this to be a little bit like an exhortation that we're receiving. So in some ways, I'm going to try to give you the same exhortation that Joshua has given to the people today. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word at this time, and I pray that you will open up our hearts to what your word says here, and that because we've been here with you and your word, that our hearts would be changed, and we would be different than we were before because we've had this encounter with you. Thank you so much. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm in Joshua chapter 23. It says, a long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old and well advanced in years, Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. I actually love these two verses as you think about it. Now, first of all, in the beginning of this, it says a long time afterward. This is a long time after the Israelites had gone into the promised land and had fought all those battles and taken that. So it's you don't have exact years for Joshua, but you know that he dies at 110 years old. You don't exactly know how old he was when he was called in to be a spy, but you know that he wandered in the wilderness for 40 years with the other people, so this is all happening. Generally, people think that this time in the promised land from when they went in was about 25-year period that happened. So as this was going on, this is maybe not exactly, but around 25 years after they went into the promised land. And Joshua was pretty old when that happened, just like Moses was pretty old when God used him. And so Joshua was pretty old because all that time that he had spent in the wilderness, he might have been about 80 years old when they began to go into the promised land. But a long time had passed, and Israel had taken much of the land, but there was still some of it that they hadn't taken, and there were still people that were living in the land that they were supposed to drive out of the land. But Joshua is getting old. He's very old at this time. So I think this is probably also close to when he's 110. This is probably like the last year of his life. And these are his final exhortations. So that's one of the reasons why I like this. I think this is really special. We looked at this with Moses, how Moses gave these final exhortations to the people of Israel to be obedient, to be faithful. These are really Joshua's final exhortations for the people of Israel as well. And they're really good exhortations for us. And there's a lot in here that's really important wisdom for us to live by. So he brings all the people together. And I get a little bit of laughter about the old guy doing this, right? So the old guy brings everyone together and he goes, hey, look, I'm going to tell you something obvious. I'm old. And in the Bible, the way it says, I'm old, I'm well advanced in years. That's the way it's described there. And he's going to share this message with the people as kind of like his last words. And there's really two parts here. We have it in 23 and 24. We're going to spend a little bit of time in it this week, and we'll look at 24 next week. But this is what he starts with. He says, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. So this is a great fit for our communion today. I actually timed this message. I don't do this very often, but I timed this message to actually be on Communion Sunday. I oriented all my messages because I look at this and I thought, you know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. And so when Joshua is giving his final exhortations to Israel, one of the most important things that he gives, it's an important message for them and it's an important message for us, is that what we need to do is we need to remember what God has done for us. Amen. And he's telling them, like, look, you've seen what God has done for you, all the things that he's brought you through. You've seen all the miracles that he's done for you. You are going to need to remember those things. You need to remember them. Remembrance is very important. Right? Now, it's the same with us today. Right now, we maybe have not been brought across the Jericho River, or the Red Sea hasn't been parted for us, or we haven't seen God go out and destroy armies for us. But if you've come to Christ, you know that God has brought you from death to life. Amen. You know that God has been your best friend, and he's been by your side all your life. Amen. And there's never been anyone who's loved you and cared for you so much and done so many things for you along the way. And in youth group this week, we were talking about the 10 lepers and how 10 of them got healed, but only one of them came back and thanked Jesus and prayed to Jesus. I think we were all convicted that so many times we're like the 9 that just go along and don't remember all the things that the Lord has done for us. And we need to remember those things. And sometimes maybe it's helpful to write them down or to regularly give thanks for them. Certain moments are going to really stand out. I just can't, I've mentioned this numerous times, but this one that really stands out for me is when we went to Mexico and Jeremiah, my little baby, almost drowned. And this lady just comes handing me my baby, because what happened was he's in this little kiddie pool and there was a little hole in it that we didn't see that you could go through from, water could go through from one side to the other, but he was small enough that he could fit through there and go out into the big pool where everybody was. And this, I lost track of it, but this lady speaking Spanish just grabbed him. It was kind of like one of those things where the baby goes down in the water and he's all that. She handed me Jeremiah, like she knew it was us because we were the only Americans probably there in that place. And she hands it and my heart just sank. It was like, oh my goodness, our baby just about drowned right there. But I just felt like, wow, God saved us from that. Amen. Like we went home from this trip, we were fine. Everything was okay. I've probably shared this like 5 times in here, but I get choked up every time. But in our lives, we should look at the things that God has done for us. Amen. Make note of them. Give thanks. Take strength from them. Take courage from them. And this is what Joshua is saying to the people. Now, excuse me, I got a lot of sweat in my eyes right here. These aren't tears. Because big, strong, bench-pressing men don't cry, right? Remembrance is so important. He says, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake, for it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. And I have to say a little bit more about that. They were not the ones that did it. They were never strong enough themselves to go in and do all these things. But it was the Lord who fought the fight for them. And really, it's the same thing for us. You know, anything, any successes that we have, you know, It's not because we're smart, we're intelligent, you know, we're better at things. It's all by the grace of God. Amen. Everything can quickly come tumbling down on us wherever we are, but it is by God's grace. It is His doing, right? And if we have a difficult situation, we got to look to not take care of it ourselves, but to trust God in it. Because if you belong to God, He promises to fight your fights and lead your battles and to do those things. And so that's what we need to remember to do too, and to not be prideful, but to humble ourselves and know that it's all because of Him. So He fought those fights for them. He says, "Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain along with all the nations that I have already cut off from the Jordan to the great sea in the west." And you see here in the promised land here, when you hear about this idea from the river to the sea, the river to the sea, now that's usually talking about people that are saying they want that and they want Israel to be wiped off that, but the promised land that God had given was from the river to the sea for the nation of Israel that was there. And there's a lot of things that God talks about and promises in the future of the Bible that will happen in Israel in that very place as Christ comes back and does a lot of work on the people there that are Jewish there and brings them to the Lord, many of them to the Lord. But He gives this land, and it was the Lord that gave the land, but it wasn't completely taken at this time. He says, "The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of the sight, and you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you." I think another thing to understand that these people that are being talked about now are not at all the same people that exist in the land today as far as the people that call themselves the Palestinians. These are ancient people that were pushed out of the land there. So they had this job to go and take possession of the land. And Joshua has led them to nearly taking the land, but there's more to do. But he's at the end of his life, so he has this. He says, "Therefore, be very strong. Be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left." We'll pause there for a minute. So you think about this. So what Joshua is saying, this is, I just have 3 points in this message. 3 points. If you want to write down 1, 2, and 3, you're going to get them right here. Okay? But it's very important to be strong in a certain kind of way. It's very important to be strong in the Lord. Amen. To be strong in the Lord. To have the kind of faith where you can stand strong in the Lord. And to what that faith looks like, what it means to be strong in the Lord, is that despite your circumstances, despite the things that are happening around you, that you can remain true and faithful to the Lord. And you can keep His word. And you can do what His word actually says. Now, none of us are going to be perfect. None of us are going to get it right all the time. But we're called to be true to God, to be true to His word, to not deviate, to not say, well, like, okay, I just like these things in the word, but I like all these other things from the world, and I'm going to mix them all together. But it's to remain faithful to God in His word and to stand strong when there's opposition and there are forces at work that try to get you to stop believing in Jesus. We're to stand strong in that. Amen. Right? Now, this is in a different context, but He's saying in the context that they were, this is long before Christ came, but this is all working toward that. Be strong, be true to my word, stay true to me. That's the kind of strength that you need. All right, so some of the strongest people are little older ladies, you know. They might not bench press a lot, but they're really spiritually strong, amen? Like a lot of times as grandmothers, great-grandmothers, you know, they're the strong ones, they're the prayer warriors, and nothing's going to move them off their spot in the Lord, amen? Well, I would encourage you all to be like that, all to want to be like that, to be that kind of person that you are determined to stay with the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to be true to the Lord, to be strong, to really follow His word. Hey, you might say, I don't really know what the word says. Well, get busy learning what the word says so that you can obey Him and you can follow Him and you can live that kind of life that He wants you to live. So He says, be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you and make mention of the names of their gods or swear by them or serve them or bow down to them. This was a big issue in the Old Testament, as you look at it, when they went into the Promised Land or wherever they were with the Lord, the idea was you were to be a separate people. You were to serve the Lord God only. You're not to serve any idols. You're not to worship any idols. You're not to take on the gods of the land that you move into, but you're going to continue to serve the Lord. And it was continually the theme of the Old Testament that the people of Israel many times would harden their heart towards God. They would turn towards the idols of the land. God would judge them and all kinds of things would happen, right, to them. And the reason why that they were eventually exiled and taken out of the land was because of that idolatry that they practiced. And so Joshua is giving them this charge not to do this, but sadly they will eventually go and do this. Now, if you think you move it into our context in the New Covenant, where we live after Christ has died and risen again, it's still the same idea for us, right? We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus said, I'm not going to take them out of the world, but Father, I ask you to protect them while they're in the world. But he very much doesn't want us to become of the world, to do everything that the world does. And so in that way, we are to be separate. We are to be a people that are separate. We are not to take on the gods of this world. We are not to take on the thinking of this world. We are to stand by Scripture and obey Scripture and obey what Scripture says. So we cannot and we must not practice a faith that mixes other gods, other religions, other faith with Christianity. We have to remain true to what the Bible says. So that's why at this church, this is what we believe. We believe the Bible is the authority for everything that we do. It's not, it isn't tradition. It isn't things that man has said. It isn't what's popular. It isn't psychology. It isn't a new kind of thinking or whatever new kind of fad. It's going to be, and it's going to remain, continue to be, the Word of God. Amen. That we follow and we practice. That's what we need to do. That's what every church needs to do. And if any church deviates from that, they're off course and all kinds of bad things are going to happen because of it. Right? And they're going to be lying to people and misleading people and being used in that way. So you have to watch that you don't mix here. You don't mix with the Lord. So what this is all about is this is about remaining true to the Lord and loyal to the Lord. Amen. That's what we have here, right? So we need to be strong. We need to be strong to obey the Lord. But what we need to do is we need to stay loyal to the Lord. Just like when you think about marriage, a husband and a wife need to remain loyal to each other. Amen? Loyal to each other. That's what the Word of God teaches us. So he doesn't want us to be disloyal to him. It says this. I love this. He says, but you shall cling to the Lord your God just as you have done to this day. You shall cling to the Lord your God. Now, this is the same idea that's talked about early on in Genesis and it's talked about in Matthew. When Jesus says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. It's the same word, it's the same idea of clinging together. The two should cling together. It gives the idea of two people that stick together. They're stuck together. There's like an adhesive, there's like a bond that brings those people together and they're going to stay together. So, I don't know what everyone's background has been. Look, I know there's been divorces and those kind of things, but really, when you look at what the Bible says and what the Scripture says, it's like God joins a man and a woman together. They're to hold on tight to each other and to not let go. That's what the Word teaches us, right? And that's the picture of what he's being talking about here. So that's a good picture and a good example of what it should be like in the Scripture. Now, again, let me go back and let me just have a lot of grace in this environment, because if people have experienced divorce and they've been a part of that, there's all kinds of things that happen and stuff. But I'm just saying, this is the perfect. This is what God wants for you. So wherever you are right now, whatever marriage you're in or whatever it is right now, if it's man and a woman together, cling to one another. Hold on to each other. Don't let go. Work on any problems that are there. Be loyal to each other. Don't be disloyal. Don't have a wandering eye or a wandering heart or anything like that, but cling to one another. Amen? Just like you do that, though, it's the same thing with God. It's what he's saying. He's like, you have got to cling to the Lord. When everybody wants to knock you off, when there's all kinds of temptations that are out there, all kinds of forces at work, you must hold on tight to the Lord. Now, the good news is he's holding on tight to you. Amen? But cling to the Lord. Don't let go. Don't forget about these things. Don't make this just, oh, this was just something that I did in the past. But no, we're talking about today, and we're talking about going forward. Hold on to the Lord. Cling to the Lord your God. And he says, just as you have done to this day. Have they done that perfectly? No. But did they follow the Lord when they were under Joshua's leadership? As a whole, they did. That's what it says. So hold on tight to the Lord. He says, for the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations, and as for you, no man has been able to stand before you. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Now, by the way, did any of you write down those numbers that I gave you? How many have I given you so far? Two. What are they? It was be strong and what? Cling to him, all right? I'm asking you because I got confused, right? But at the end, I'm going to give you three. I'm going to be sure to give you three at the end of this, all right? Okay, there's more than three here, but this one is related. It says, be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God. For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you. All right, so on this one, these things fit really well together. But there is this thing that you need to be very careful to do in your life. And I need to be very careful to do. They need to be careful to do. And it really just makes everything really work. When you think about God and having a relationship with God, it's not like we're thinking about him as he's distant, he's mean, he's just that big guy in the sky who judges us. No, he says we should love the Lord. So the thing that we're supposed to be really careful to do in our lives is to love God. And we already talked about this idea of clinging to God. So let me put these things together. This is what we need to be careful to do. And this would be like one of your main points here. We got to be really careful to really love God and cling to him and not love the world and cling to the world. Because that's what he was saying. He says, be sure that you don't cling to the remnant of the other nations. So the people that are left behind there and the gods they worship, do not cling to them. Right? So rather, love God, cling to God. That's what we need to do. So if you want to live a life that honors God, if you want to live a life that has God's blessing on you, then this is what we need to do. We need to really have that relationship, and we really need to love God. What is the greatest commandment in all the Bible?
Love God.
Love God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the greatest thing that we can do in this life. That's the number one and most important thing we can do with whatever time left we have in this world is to love God.
Amen.
And to hold on tight to him. And to never let him go. And to be faithful in the truth. Do not commit spiritual adultery on the Lord. But remain true to him. That's the best thing that we can do. And in this, he knew for the people of Israel that there would be this temptation to intermarry with the other nations and the other people that were there. And he's saying that's very much, if you choose that over me, it's an act of spiritual adultery and idolatry. And that was really what the temptation was always there, right? Hey, I bet there were probably some beautiful women in those places that would tempt the man. And we know what happened. And that's how they would be used to lead Israel into idolatry. Who's considered to be the wisest man in the Bible?
Solomon.
What happened to him? Well, first of all, he had 700 wives, and that is just a problem that you're dealing with, right? There's 700 wives. Could you imagine? Because just one woman is like already like 50 different people. Right? Depending on like what's going on, what the circumstance is, you know, these kind of things, like I mean, I think that's fair. It's fair. Trying to keep 700 straight. But the real idea was that if you had these wives and these foreign wives, they would turn you to their worship. And the guy who's supposed to be the smartest guy in all the scripture, the wisest guy in all the scripture, he fell to that. And if that could happen to him, that could happen to us, and it would happen to any one of these Israelites. So we have to really watch out for that. And so everyone longs to be loved, right? Longs for those relationships. These men long for these marriages. They would do that. And that would be the way that would get to their hearts. But God's saying, look, no matter what, this is true. This is really true for us today. You have to choose God over everything else. You have to choose God over your longing and your desire to be married, your longing desire to have a relationship. You want to have God first in that. Amen? That needs to be, God needs to be first place in our life. Now, the thing about that I think is so wonderful, I really want to put God before my wife in my relationship. If I put God before my wife, I'm going to be a better husband to my wife. I will be a far better husband to my wife if I put God first. I'm also going to be a better son. I'm going to be a better brother. I'm going to be a better friend because I'm going to put God first. Need to keep that order. But he didn't want them to go out and to marry these women that would take them. Now, one of the things that they would do is they had their own idolatry, and there was a lot of sexuality involved in their idolatry that they did. And this was actually given by Balaam as a way to defeat Israel. He was a prophet that was called by King Balak to stand before Israel and to curse him. God wouldn't let him curse him, but eventually he came back and said, well, here's what you do. Here's how you can undermine them. You can undermine them with this way, with the women, intermarrying with them, letting them get in, and then pulling the men out of Israel. And so this was very important. But the thing is about it all, if you just kind of simplify it today, it's this idea that we need to remain loyal to the Lord and to not be brought into the things of the world. He says, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and a thorns in your eyes until you perish from off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you. So if you choose to Joshua's saying, if you choose to disregard what I'm saying here, all these nations, they're going to be a snare to you. They're going to be a trap. They're going to be a whip. They're going to put you in precarious situations. He says, and now I am about to go the way of the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed. So he calls them to remember that all the promises that God made along the way, all those things have come true. And if I were to give you an exhortation today about it, I think it's really the same thing for us to remember that God's word has never failed. It's never failed you or it's never failed anybody. And what God's word says is that Christ came to die for your sins. He came to give his life and pay the price so that you could be reconciled to God because of your sins, because our sin separates us from God. And Christ came and he died for that, and he rose again. Those are the things that the Bible says. And so it says, it's like, that has happened. I believe that. But what I need to believe and understand and really live on is that there is more than this life that we live right now. There's a whole life after this one. And we are going to go and either be with the Lord because we have faith in Christ, or we'll be separated from the Lord, is what the Bible teaches. And so we should trust and believe, and I encourage you, this is an exhortation, in all your life and everything you do, that God's word, every bit of it is true. And you can trust it and believe it, and you can build your life. If you build your life on this, the Bible describes it as building your life on the rock. But if you build your life on anything else, the Bible describes it as building your life on the sand. And when a storm comes and it blows, and it surely will, if a man builds his house on the sand, that house comes crashing down. But if he builds his house on the rock, that house will stand, and that house will stand strong. So believe what the Word of God says. And live your life in that way, and you will not be sorry. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given to you. And he continues in that thought. And I think this is a good point here as we get to the end of this text, is it is one thing to believe all the good promises that God gives, right? All the ones that we would like, that we would consider to be good. But he was telling them, you need to remember this. This is part of the original covenant, the old covenant they had. That they needed to remain loyal to the Lord. And if they didn't remain loyal to the Lord, they were going to experience this kind of judgment. And so when we think about the promises of God and all the good things that he says, or what we would call them good, because they're all good. Everything that God has to say is good. Right? But when we think about the things that would be pleasant for us, that we would enjoy, right? And we just focus on them. We need to remember to think about the hard things that God says too. And we need to believe those just as much as we believe the things that would seem pleasant to us. Amen? And so this is the beginning of the advice from a man who's well advanced in years. From this old man that stands before the people, who's walked with the Lord and led the people. He gives them this advice. So let me try to sum it up into three. Let's see if I can do a better job this time, right? Man, and I didn't write them down. And this has been a different kind of week for me this week, okay? But I want to, maybe it's going to be four or whatever, but let me see if I can get it to three, okay? All right, ready? I want to start with number one, actually, where I think we start in the beginning. Number one is, what we need to do is we need to remember what the Lord has done for us. Amen. That's very important. To remember, take stock of what the Lord has done for you. Really remember that, okay? All right? Now, the second one here, right, is that we need to be very careful about some things. But the thing that we need to be very careful about is that we really love God and that we're really holding on tight to Him, really clinging to Him, really doing that, okay? That we do that, okay? And that we're faithful to Him and we're loyal to Him, okay? We need to be careful for that. We need to live our lives for that. And boy, I'm hurt today. There was a third. What's going to be a good third one for me? This is interactive here for you guys. What do we like? What do we like for a third one? That was it. It was be strong. Thank you. That was supposed to be like number one or two or something. Right? To grow in strength. But it's strength to continue to be faithful to the Lord, to obey what His Word says, to not fall to the left or the right. Be a stronger person, right? So to seek that in your life, to want to be stronger and to want to really grow in the Lord and to not be shaken by all the things that are happening. Because the world is a really strange place today, right? Amen. But to be stronger, to be a stronger person in the Lord. All right, so those will be a good three right there. You know, forgive my messiness there. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time. And I pray, Lord, that we can be stronger in you, that we would grow in those ways, that we would trust you more. I especially think probably the thing that hits me the most, Lord, is this idea of just clinging to you, Lord. I just want to be stuck to you. I just want to stay with you. I don't want to be unfaithful. I don't want to wander away, Lord. I just want to be near you and close to you. So I pray you'd help me with that. You'd help others with that. And that, you would just prepare us for whatever faces us when we leave these doors. Thank you so much. We love you and praise you. In Christ's name we pray.